Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of our two-part interview with Pastor Glenn Newman. Now, Glenn is the author of a book called Pastor Move Over. But more importantly, I want to make sure that you understand the concept that he is talking about, that we need to get away from the quote-unquote church hierarchy model where the pastor and the senior pastor, they run the show, they do the teaching, you just sit there and take it all in. No, the Bible has been written, Jesus has taught that the believers need to share the gospel. They need to grow up. When you first get born again, you're a baby in Christ, but you're not supposed to remain a baby. You're supposed to grow up just like you grow up physically. You're supposed to grow up spiritually. And to help reinforce that, I'm going to give a quick example, and then we're going to let Glenn take over because you need to hear what he has to say. Back into the interview right now. When a couple brings in a newborn baby, right? Oh, isn't that so cute? They don't expect that kid to go push the lawnmower next month, you know? Right. It takes some time to let the child develop and learn about what is expected and things like that. Now, to go back to your point, especially I have underlined in my Bible where it says every joint supplies in verse 16, because that's every person. Every person contributes something. Right. So to what you just mentioned is what sparked my memory on all this. What you just mentioned where, you know, they've been in the church 40 years and they're still babies in the faith.
Yeah.
You know,
right. And
if you had that mother with that little baby boy, you know, and it's 2 weeks old, 2 months old. Oh, and that's so cute. It's normal for the mother to carry the baby, you know, to feed it the bottle. If that kid is 40 years old. And, you know, she's still slinging them in her arms and feeding them during service with a bottle. Something's wrong, you know. And people are not going to say that's so cute, you know. But yet we do it spiritually all the time.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that just gets my gold, I tell you.
Well, the traditional model is the man on top is called pastor. Or whatever, you know. Then you got the board of elders.
Yeah.
I don't see anything about a board of elders. Elders are guys with gray hair.
That's
what the word means, you know. But it's a top-down situation in today's church.
Mm-hmm.
The biblical method is a small group, which is an assembly or an ecclesia of believers. Everybody has their own gift. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or the foot, or whatever. Everybody is needed. And, you know, that gives everybody a chance to share, to grow, to disciple somebody else. You briefly mentioned about the four classes. You know, you come to Christ and you go, you know, those four classes. Basically, those classes are to learn what we do in this particular church.
Right.
I actually have no qualm about a discipleship class as far as learning the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have one that I published, Your New Life in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 12-week thing,
right.
And it's a fill-in-the-blank, you know, lesson where, you know, for God so loved the blank,
right.
You know, he gave his only begotten son and so on. But that's only to prime you for learning the Word of God. So the discipleship is to me, it's a mentoring program.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked people, well, what's wrong with some of the guys in the church, you know, the older men, take three young men out fishing or working on a car or to a football game. And, yeah, those are recreational type things or whatever, but you teach them the Word of God. You teach them principles to live by from the Word of God. They, a traditional church, you hire a 25-year-old guy to take care of a bunch of 15-year-olds, and they go and play for 45 minutes and have a 10-minute Bible study.
Yeah.
And I got so much more out of my coach. When I was in sixth grade, we had a coach in L.A., and he took us to a college football game at the Coliseum. And that type of thing, he was a hands-on mentor. He taught us about life. He didn't teach us about God, but he was a coach. He was a mentor. And, you know, we had a good time with him. And the thing is that you don't get that for the youth these days. They go to church, they're babysat by somebody for a couple hours, and then they go home, and the rest of the week is, you know,
that's up to
them.
Yeah, and actually it goes as well for the adults, you know. They're babysat for that hour and a half in church, you know. All right, everybody stand, let's sing this song over and over for the next 15 minutes. And, you know, then you'll hear a cute little sermonette, you know, from the pastor about, you know, how lovely the sky is today or something. And, okay, let's collect the offering, you know. Now we got to collect the offering. Don't forget the offering, you know. And, you know, then another song and, okay, go home. The football game starts in 20 minutes, so see y'all next week, you know.
Yeah.
You mentioned
the term ministry, and our traditional thing about the word ministry is that the pastor gets up there and, you know, for 30 minutes he teaches. That's not ministry.
Right.
It might be teaching, but it's not ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fouled up because we've gotten used to a 1700-year-old method, and it's so hard to unlearn things.
Yeah,
especially things that we enjoy and love. You know, wait, you're doing something wrong. Well, no, it can't be wrong. I've been doing this for 40 years.
Yeah, everybody else is doing it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And at the same time, there are people leaving the church.
Yeah. And I agree, you know, the Bible does not mention the term senior pastor, but the typical structure you see is the senior pastor, and you talk about the Catholic Church, because now we got senior pastor, then several other pastors that are over various aspects of the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you got a congregation of, you know, 1,000 people or 10,000, I don't know, but, you know, doesn't the pastor need them to help him run those various, you know, like, okay, women's ministry, let's, you know, runs this, you know, taking care of the kids ministry is over here, and this is the youth pastor, the homeless ministry or whatever the case may be. You know, if you have a large church, don't you need that type of hierarchy, though?
Well, let me tell you, it's, first of all, the pastors and teachers and so on, they're sitting in the pews by the millions. Second of all, we are so used to hiring a head pastor or senior pastor and all that. There is a subliminal and psychological thing in our heads that says, we hired him to do all this stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Amen. And we may have a desire to help and so on, and maybe 10-15% of the church does help.
You're lucky.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, But the majority of the church is saying, in their minds, they may not even voice it out verbally, but in their psyche, they're thinking, we hired this guy. Yep. He's supposed to, do the teaching, do visitation, do everything else under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the majority of the church is sitting dormant.
Yeah.
We are inert. Well,
You talk about, 100% participation, and that'd be an awesome thing to have. I've never seen it in a church that I've been part of in the past 30-plus years. So how can that ideal be achieved?
Go to the living room. Go to a room at the library, a coffee shop. Gather together as a body of believers, and everybody is welcome to participate. Starting out, there may be some shy people and say, well, I don't teach or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get going and bring them out of their shells, they are welcome to share, even the novices. It says, don't allow a novice to teach. Well, let me tell you, even a donkey got it right one time.
Amen.
Spoke to the prophet, says, look, you're going the wrong way, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
And he didn't have a seminary degree. So,
amen. I've said a couple times in pastor meetings and stuff, that's not his place to say something. I say, well, look, if God can use a jackass every now and then, he might be able to use you.
Exactly. But the people, once you start saying, look, hey, it's open to everybody. What did you get out of the word this week? And what I like is, okay, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and I said, let me give you a scenario. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with this? Of course, everything I said threatened his livelihood as a pastor.
Yeah.
But I thought, wouldn't it be great? People going, if you're going to insist on having a church building to go to, but have the elders lead the church, not as, lording it over people,
yeah,
but as fathers and so on. Okay, the elders gather together either the night before or the day of church service, and they get together and pray and fellowship and so on. And the one that says he has something from the Word, hey, guys, I got a great thing out of the Word this week, man. You wouldn't believe, what God gave me this week. This guy gets to teach, because everybody else, it's good to study and so on and so forth, but how in the world is a pastor going to be inspired of God on Sunday morning, 52 weeks out of the year, precisely at 10 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
But if brother says, hey, I've got something from the Word, he may speak 10 minutes, he may speak an hour,
mm-hmm,
but he's gotten a revelation.
Yeah.
And to me, that would be serving the body of Christ much better than having to. I'll give you a story.
Yeah, go ahead.
the church that my wife and I met at in Grand, Texas, the pastor, you knew on Wednesday night, and I was part of the staff. I was youth pastor. My wife was education director. But I had a Dake's Bible, and every Wednesday night, preacher would get up there and teach and so on. And I knew as soon as he gave the subject, I would go to the notes in Dake's Bible, and I would say, honey, his next point is going to be this. And because I don't know if he was tired or whatever, but over and over and over, it was such an uninspired teaching.
Yeah.
It was just something he was reading out of the notes from Dakes.
I've witnessed that in some denominational churches where, you know, everybody in the denomination is teaching on the same thing this week, you know, and like, golly, you don't have any idea of being led by the Spirit and what you're going to teach on, you know, and, you know, that, yeah, I agree. But shouldn't a person be called to lead a body of believers in a local church?
Okay. We're all called.
Amen.
Now, there is leading and there is following. Along with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you also have the gift of helps.
Yep.
And deacons and so on. Everybody is different. We are individual people. And so each individual, there may be somebody who is a teacher and somebody who is good at putting chairs back together, you know, whatever. I remember going to these potluck, Sunday afternoon potluck type things.
Yeah.
And I'd be fellowshipping and so on. And all of a sudden I would hear chairs being put up and tables being broken down and so on. And those people were not asked to do that. Mm-hmm. They simply they did it.
Yeah.
And they had the gift of help.
Yeah. Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
They were naturally helpers. Helpers.
When I was at Bible school, the one of the details, I guess you could say, you know, being in the military, you know what I'm talking about when you're put on a detail. Mm-hmm. Was taking care of the flower gardens and stuff outside, you know, the walkways and stuff. And, you know, we go out and help the person who was really in charge of that area of the ministry. And, you know, where I was just talking to him one day, he said, "This is my calling." He goes, This is what I do. And he said, "I've been doing it for 8 years now." And he said, I wouldn't think about doing anything else, you know. And that got me thinking, you know, that's his calling. Every person that comes up to that church and that, you know, that location, that facility, that is the first impression that is being made is, you know, the wonderful flower gardens and, you know, there's no weeds growing out of them and stuff, you know. And he's out there, you know, 3 or 4 days a week. That's what he does.
Right.
Takes care of that stuff. That's his calling. Because
ask him to teach a small group, and he'd probably melt in his tracks. But,
amen.
But his gift was taking care of the grounds, and he was called to do that.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Did you want to cover anything else from the five gifts outlined in Ephesians 4?
No, I did want to jump over to tithing.
Okay, sure.
The thing is, every time a pastor, well, not every time, but majority of the time, a pastor that asks for an offering or, you know, usually tithing, they use the word tithing, they go to Malachi 3. And that's an Old Testament principle. In the New Testament, God loves a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one mention about tithing in the New Testament. It was Jesus talking to his disciples about tithing. But he had not gone to the cross yet. He had not fulfilled the new covenant. Now, and when you think about it, tithing is a compulsory, it's a commandment.
Yeah.
Giving is out of your heart.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's a big difference. And when we come to Jesus, we come because we voluntarily choose to accept his gift of salvation for us and so on. It's not a compulsory thing.
That's right.
You know, and the same way with giving of our... And the tithe really had to do with getting tithes of animals and grain and part of a harvest. It had nothing really to do with money.
Right. Amen.
But we use it as a push to get money out of the congregation so we can pay the light bill, mm-hmm. pay the salaries, and the mortgage.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. And, you know, I understand from the pastor's point of view, well, if I don't keep talking about it, they're not going to give. Well, that means you're depending upon yourself to mm-hmm. make people feel bad if they don't give, you know,
yeah.
instead of sharing an inspired word from God. And they're like, now that's God here, you know. And that's one of the reasons why our radio station started, you know, I'm not going to charge anything. We're just going to trust God. And, I mean, when you operate by faith like that, God will come through every time, you know.
Absolutely. And one is out of the flesh and one is out of the spirit.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Tell us about your books as we're getting ready to wrap up. Tell us about your books.
Well, I did write it about 7 years ago, and I'm actually trying to do a revised version, but it's about the fivefold ministry and it talks about all these subjects of, each of us has a gift from God. All we have to do is discover what it is. It's called Pastor's Move Over, Make Room for the Rest of Us. Mm-hmm. And I think Amazon has it at, if you get the ebook, the Kindle ebook, it's free. Mm-hmm. And if you get the paperback, it's down to like $5.99.
Okay.
So it's very reasonable.
Yeah.
But it talks about all these principles and so on, and I just want people to discover really what I discovered about the New Testament church as opposed to today's church.
Amen.
You know, there's a big, big difference.
Amen. And what's your other book?
It's that 12-week study. Mm-hmm. is Your New Life in Jesus Christ, and I have a hard time finding it on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
I guess you have to add my name as the author, Glenn Newman, to find it.
What I'll do is I'll put links to all that in the show notes to make it easy for people. I'll find it. I'll put links in there. Glenn, if someone wanted to ask you a question or maybe even do an interview like this, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, my email is Glenn Newman, GlennNewman1948 at gmail.com.
All right.
I don't give a phone number because I recently, you can change phone numbers.
Yeah.
I don't
recommend giving a phone number out because you never know where this is going to end up. You know, when I first started, as we were talking before we started recording, when I started in online radio, I was giving my phone number. And, we started getting listeners all over the world. And right now we got listeners in 167 nations. And I would get those phone calls at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, okay, something's going on. Somebody's calling me, you know. And I answer it. It goes, hello, Brother Bob. You know? From India, Pakistan, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kenya. Yeah. You know, because it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon over there, you know. But,
I'll be happy to answer emails all day long. It's just the phone number is so fluid and everything. So.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I'll put the link to your email in the show notes as well as the links to your books. But Glenn, mm-hmm. I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the program.
Come on.
I
thank you so much for inviting me. Yes.
Amen. This is a topic I have to agree with you on because I do believe there needs to be more, for lack of a better term, common folk leading the churches. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to get away from this mega church, senior pastor, corporate hierarchy nonsense and get back just to sharing the Word of God and what it means to us. Not us as, the the senior pastor. This is what the word means to me, and you're going to listen, type thing. But what it means to every individual, I think that is so important. I just thank you for taking the time to not just write the book, but come on the program and share that with us today.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me, and I enjoyed myself immensely.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. I encourage you to click this link down below and, get these books. The 12-week discipleship program, that you can't help but learn the word. You heard about it, it's fill in the blank. It's going to give you the scripture. You go look it up and complete the sentence. That is a great way to learn what the Bible says. I mean, it just makes so much sense. You need to get that. If pastors, you need to order these books and use them in your discipleship classes. I mean, you don't have to try and create everything from within the church. Use the resources others have been led by God to create. And, if you've been dissatisfied about what church you're attending, you're bouncing around and you just can't find, take Glenn's advice. Get together with a group of people and go start your own house church and let everybody share in the growth of each other's spirituality. Glenn, this is awesome. I mean, that is a great concept. I just appreciate it so much.
Praise God.
And folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Glenn Newman and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.